Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with award-winning jazz composer Simeon Nathaniel Davis on the full orchestra multimedia collaboration, Welcome to Blackwater. On this project, he returns with a full orchestra and his band for a multimedia collaboration that is hauntingly grooving, genre-bending, and it's a single on a larger scale than ever before. Combining his band, the Simeon Davis Group, with a full symphony orchestra, he continues his signature programmatic writing style as he maps this musical overture onto the dark yet humorous stories of visual artist Sarah Navin, better known by her alias Coinswallow. The digital-only single comes out on Outside in Music on October 7th, 2022. We get into all of this and more. Enjoy.
Hey, thanks for taking a minute out today. It's great to see the new multimedia collaboration, Welcome to Blackwater. So thanks for reaching out and taking a minute out.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. It's always fun being on the show.
Absolutely. So let's start off here, first and foremost. How did this project come about? I mean, you got elements of multimedia, you got a full orchestra, you got a lot going on here. How did this idea hatch?
It started about a year ago. Really right around this time of year. I was trying to plan things for my final recital in my master's program. I did a jazz composition degree as my master's, and I knew I wanted to do something a little bit wild. I wanted a really big closer, and part of my background is I've played violin since I was like 8 years old, and so I really wanted to do something orchestral, but also still jazz and also still just the weird stuff that I create. And so in looking for things that could be potential inspiration, I like taking outside sources for music beyond just initial musical ideas. And there was this illustrator whose work I'd been following for a while by the name of Sarah Navin, better known by her alias Coinswallow. But she created these really unique like illustrations as well as almost like comic strips, I guess you could call them. But they were this weird blend of like very dark and like thriller type themes while also being incredibly witty and satirical and at times very funny. And it was this really interesting blend of styles that I'd never encountered before. And I loved it. And so in searching for ideas for writing this big orchestral, I guess you could call it an overture, I thought, you know, that could be a fun one to write something on based off of. Very much, you know, thinking like Berlioz and with his Symphonie Fantastique, just having this crazy, outlandish idea. And so I reached out. I'd never met this illustrator before, but I reached out to Sarah and I said, "Hey, I've been following your work for a while. I'm a composer, this and that. Would you be interested in collaborating with me, maybe writing like a big orchestral piece based off of your work?" And so I sent her some samples of my other stuff that has now since been released on our previous album. And she's like, "This is great. Like, yeah, totally. Let's do this." And so that's sort of where it started, and it ended up being what it is now.
Wow, that's a great story. I mean, and that's, I think, kind of the spirit of just hopefully some outgrowths of some things that happen with the world slowing down and people having time to kind of branch out and think about things. It's almost as though there has been more cross-pollinization that's gone on with people. Have you noticed that?
I think I have, and I haven't. For me, I feel like when the rest of the world slowed down, for me, it sped up at a pace it's never been before, just with, you know, making ends meet and being the musician thing, but also, you know, being a husband and a father and really working on all the craziest jobs you can imagine and trying to juggle music. But in this weird way, that grind of having not as much time as any musician would like to have, I found that it became hyper-efficient in the musical realm. And when I had an idea, it's like, all right, we got to do this now or it's never going to happen ever again because I'm never going to have the time for it. And so in that way, even though it's backwards, like, yes, the answer is yes. But I think with the context of exactly what you're saying, the world becoming more virtual, the idea of this distance collaboration, because I've never met Sarah ever in person. We've just corresponded distance. And I probably won't ever, and that's okay. And it's just one of those things that as a result, we have these artists willing to work with artists because we like each other's work and hey, why not? And so I think the answer is yes and no, which the no leads to another yes.
I get it. So what does the actual title Welcome to Blackwater mean?
Oh, that's a great question. So in Navin's comics, She it's based in a fictional city called Blackwater, Maine, and so Blackwater is the name of the city. So rather than trying to give it, you know, like some fancy name, it's just like, hey, if you're the way her story works is the city itself is almost somewhat sentient and monstrous, very kind of Twilight Zone, X-Files, in a lot of ways, just a little bit darker and grimmer. And so in my brain, it was almost like, this is the sound, if there was like a film or there is some visual to it, this is the sound that would play like as you're driving into the city limits and you see a sign that says, welcome to Blackwater. Maybe the sign has like some rust and gunshots on it, but it's still a sign nevertheless. And so that's kind of what I was thinking with the title.
Once you got the okay to do this, did you have things that were already in place, or how organically did this come about?
I had nothing planned musically other than the fact that I knew I wanted to do it. So it was a lot of brainstorming. This piece took me longer to write than I think any other piece I've written, partially because of the time constraints of just working. I think I worked 70 hours a week when I was writing this, just non-musically, just jobs. And so that's part of it. But the other part is, you know, I had never written something on this scale before. And so just brainstorming and trashing ideas. But so yes, very organically. And part of that is I would send Sarah these questions and be like, hey, how would you describe this main character in 3 words? How would you describe the town in 3 words, this and that? And like ask her questions, giving insight on her perspective of the characters and things like that. Because I wanted the musical sound to reflect the interplay between her two main characters as well as the visual aesthetic of the town itself and this dark and gloomy, slightly monstrous, slightly mysterious sound. And with using those adjectives, try and create aesthetics. Very much like if I collaborated with a filmmaker and done a spotting session and asking for their ideas, it was very, very similar in that regard. So I think from there, I then tried to take those adjectives and brainstorm a bunch of different things. For me, the writing process is a lot of like singing, just walking around while I'm driving, while I'm doing this and that, just having a voice recorder going and trying to find ideas that I like and then sitting with those ideas and just brainstorming, what can I do with these? And I think I had a catalog for this piece, probably well over 100 different potential ideas that I had sung into my phone's voice recorder, and just finding how they stitch together, which ones work with the aesthetics. I had like these mind maps that I'd like drawn and like put up on my walls so I could like sketch ideas, both musical and like just adjectival word-based ideas that try and evoke certain aesthetics. And I think I had post-it notes like plastered all over the piano, you know, just to try and get the sound that felt not just groovy or not just like a good song, but true to the illustrator and creator's vision of this town that she created.
So it's billed as something perfect for Halloween. So I don't want to be assumptive, but was that kind of the timing of this is going to coincide perfectly with this time of year and Halloween?
Right, yes. So the release time, certainly. But this was actually, like I said, I wanted this to be a closer for my master's recital. So this was performed back in February of this year. So, and it was a very close turnaround, I'll say that, because I started brainstorming it in like October of last year. And that may be part of just the October feeling, maybe part of why I ended up sounding dark and moody to begin with. But then I started the full-on writing process probably in December, and I needed to have this orchestral piece turned around like by January with time for rehearsals leading up to a very early February like performance live. So as far as release, 100% intentionally built around Halloween. But originally it was just, hey, I wanted to do this. And then down the line it was like, I should release this. Oh, I should release this around Halloween because it fits thematically.
So is there any intention on doing this live and getting out? And how would you put this out in front of people?
Well, it was recorded live, and I have no idea if I'll be able to recreate that again. I was at the University of North Texas College of Music, which is one of like the really, really big music schools, I believe. I don't know if this number is still correct, but when I started there, it was the largest music school in America. And so it was a game of just like finding people who played the instruments I needed, who would be willing to do it. And some of them knew me. Some of them I'd never met before, and it was purely word of mouth. And so I got a full symphony orchestra to do this gig with a person that I'd mostly never met before for free, which is just the amazing thing about, I guess, eager students and people who are excited to try new things and learn new things. Because for the jazz kids who are in the band, this was new territory for them. And for the classical kids who are in the band, this was new territory for them, because it wasn't really either camp fully. But I would love to do more stuff like this. I think for me, this is like the most exciting thing I've ever written in a lot of ways. Maybe that's a strong phrase, but one of the most exciting things I've ever written just because of the sheer scope of it and getting to use all these different colors that, you know, because I grew up playing in orchestras as well as playing in jazz bands. And so being able to put those two things together for me was just invigorating.
So Outside in Music is the label. Where is the best place for everybody out there to get their hands on it or listen to it? How do they go about it? And to find out what else is going on with you and the group.
Okay, that's a great question too. So this is actually releasing digitally only. It's just a single. And so it's available on all streaming services as of October 7th. It's available just worldwide that way. You can also find it on Bandcamp and purchase it that way. As far as following things about the group, well, you can stay up to date with Outside In Music's just whole label catalog by going to their website. Or the main way I stay updated with anything is I'm pretty on top of the social media game as far as just, hey, here's gigs, hey, here's new releases, this and that. So we're going to be doing our official announce for this single in collaborating with the illustrator herself. We're both going to do a big announcement for it tomorrow because it's 13 days before the release, and you know, we're really kind of playing into that whole Halloween superstition type thing. So it'll be fun.
Wonderful. Man, it's great to catch up with you. Great project. I'm looking forward to profiling on Neon Jazz and everything that you have on Outside In Music. Thanks again for taking some time out today, and good luck with it.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Simeone for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, all the time, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.